I'd like to call to order the April 6, 2006 Recreation and Parks Commission to order. We'll do the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Commissioner House?
Here.
Commissioner Munoz?
Here.
Commissioner Mahan?
Here.
Commissioner Hensley?
Here.
Commissioner Solu?
Here.
Commissioner Hale?
Here.
Chairperson Winter?
Here. Now we'll have the public comment period. Anyone wishing to speak to the commission, come forward, and you have about 3 minutes to comment on anything other than public hearing item, when we have no public hearing tonight, so.
Good
Just
evening.
Give us your name and address for the record, please.
My name is Patrick Ayotte. I live at 410 Island Street in Morro Bay. I'm here tonight to address the issue of the off-leash dog park that's been proposed to be put in the northwest corner of Del Mar Park. There's several of my neighbors were at the last city council meeting, and there was a lot of opposition against this. I know it was right after Mrs. Luker gave her report that there wasn't anywhere that you guys have been able to find in the last few years that was an adequate spot for an off-leash dog park that didn't have a negative impact. The members of the city council didn't seem to take that into consideration, but I'm here to address that. I think it's not a good spot, as it wasn't 2 years ago when three members of that council that are on the current council voted it down, for mainly for the reason it was too close to the homes, and that's in the old transcripts that you can check out. Also, that area is prone to flooding, and I took a couple of pictures 4 days ago of this area. I'd like to show them to you so you could take a look at them, if that's okay.
Thank you.
These pictures were taken from the northwest corner of Del Mar Park, where the creek runs down along the side of that area that they're proposing down into the stream bed, and I don't think that's been addressed by anybody. I don't think it's a good spot because it's right behind our homes. You know, we're looking at barking dogs and things. I know you people are not in support of putting it there. I'm just down here to tell you I'm with you, and here's another reason why. So thank you for your time.
Hi, my name is Scott Graves. I live at 430 Island Street. And I just didn't know, one, if the Harbor Walk project had been approved, and if so, if the dog park has been considered as a placement down there versus the Del Mar Park issue. And then we can just kind of put the Del Mar Park issue to rest, is what I'm hoping. And I just didn't know anything about the Harbor Walk. So those are my questions.
Hi, I'm Jeannie McIntosh. I live at 400 Island, and I'm here to address, of course, the dog park issue. And just to let you know that one of the biggest concerns that I have is traffic on our street, because Island Street is very narrow, and there's a lot of people who park on the sides of the street, and it's very hard for two cars to pass each other in that situation. So I think if there's increased traffic, that's going to be a huge problem. Another thing I think about is if the dog park becomes a reality and it's on the maps and it's advertised to the general public, tourists coming into town, so we won't have just the neighborhood people visiting, walking to their little dog park. It's going to become a destination, sort of, and I think that will be a problem for our street as far as traffic, not only along with the noise issue and all of that. So that's what I wanted to say. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Betty Ayotte of 410 Island Street, and I just wanted to speak to the article that was in the Sun Bulletin today. The Bay News today concerning the dog park issue. That article stated that there had been a dog park there for 6 years, but in fact it has not been a dog park. It's just a use permit that was issued for a small group of people from about 3:30 to 6:30 every afternoon. So I think that article was really misleading, and that's quite a bit different as far as the traffic and the impact versus the whole city using it and tourists and that type of thing. So that concerned me, the way that was stated in the paper, and I just wanted to bring that to your attention. Thank you.
Now, they always save the best for last. My name is Mike Anderson. I live at 400 Island also. The proposed dog park is pretty close to our place, just across the creek. And it was kind of interesting to see the creek cranking again this week. We haven't really seen it do that in a long time. But I've lived there for about 25 years or so, and I've seen that creek absolutely smoking. Like, you just can't imagine it. It's knocked down the Chevron fence, just flattened it 3 different times over the course of the years. And I think putting a structure out there that's going to be a big fenced area is, it may take a while, but eventually that thing will get slammed, and it'll just get wiped off the map. So I think that's another consideration for a bad reason to have that dog park in that zone. All right, thanks.
Thank you. Andre, do you want to tell them about the Harbor Walk project?
Thank you. Good evening, Commissioners. I believe that the Harbor Walk project was conditionally approved by the Coastal Commission. However, I also believe that it is on the City Council agenda for the 10th because of some of the conditions that were put on that project. So it is still, while I think it was conditionally approved, there's still some issues that need to be resolved. So we're still, the short answer is it's still up in the air.
Do any of the commissioners have any comments?
I do.
Okay.
If you don't mind. First of all,
that wouldn't wait till A2. The item about the letter.
I'm
interested in pursuing that one. Do you remember which one it was? Out by the short storage set. If you go past the gate where the power plant community room is. So maybe that's another thing we can consider suggesting.
Can I ask you, Andrea, would those two areas fall into Coastal Commission approval to turn it into like a park?
I believe so.
Okay. Let's go to the minutes of the March 9th meeting. I had a correction, I think. On page 3, after it's at the top where Commissioner House asked about preventive maintenance, the next sentence said, staff replied that we have noticed that things are being taken care of. I think it should be not taken care of. Did anyone else notice any corrections?
I move that we accept the March 9th minutes with that correction.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. Next we go to new business. And the first item in new business is recommendation on the Green Cities Declaration Urban Environmental Accords.
Actually, Chair Winter, would we be able to back up for the announcements section?
Oh, I'm sorry. See, it's over toward the middle, and I just missed it. Go ahead, Andrea. I'm sorry.
That's fine. Thank you. Actually, I've got a couple of announcements, but first what I'd like to do is introduce formally to the commission Christy Hale. She's our new commissioner. This is her first meeting, and I've asked her to just spend a couple of minutes introducing herself so you as well as the viewing audience can learn who she is.
Thank you, Andrea, and greetings, fellow commissioners. My name is Christy Hale, and I'm married and have two daughters, both of whom attend Del Mar. I'm a graduate of Cal Poly, San Luis Obispo, and spent 10 years living in Seattle, working in the wireless business. Relocated back to Morro Bay in about 5 years ago, and I'm currently starting a business and doing some work for a South County architecture firm. And when I'm not with family and working, I enjoy running and surfing.
Welcome.
Thank you.
I do have one other announcement. I just wanted to let the commission know that I have left a copy of the staff report that's going to the city council concerning the off-leash dog park in your desk. That council packet became public today, so I made a copy for you on that. And I would also ask the council possibly, or the commission, it just seems like it should be the council up there, ask the commission to entertain maybe moving item A2 forward, since it appears that you've got some people in the audience that might be interested in the result of that, if you would consider that.
Okay.
I would move that we put item A2 ahead of item A1.
I have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Let's do that.
And okay. Item A2 this evening is consideration of sending City Council a letter regarding the Commission's recommendation on an off-leash dog park. This is a verbal report. Basically, this item is on your agenda to see if the Commission is interested in forwarding any additional correspondence to the City Council prior to their meeting on the 10th regarding this Commission's decision and recommendation on an off-leash dog park. We brought a status report to the Commission, I believe, in February regarding the amount of public hearings and information that we've taken on this item, and we've agendized tonight this question. I'm happy to answer questions that you have, the staff asked the Commission to make a decision on whether or not they want to do something like that.
Any comments, considerations?
I have a question.
Hey, Johnny.
The property that you were speaking about, Leva, is that the one that's in the report for City Council, which is the one by the Coleman Park? It notes that the Coleman Park master plan might have a spot. Is that the same one?
I don't think so. It's...
No, I believe the area that Chair Winter is talking about, if you were going north on Embarcadero and instead of turning west to go out to the rock, you would continue on the dirt path down toward the fisherman's gear storage. You'd stop before you got to the creek. There's some city-owned property on the right-hand side that at one time this commission looked at that property as a possibility for an off-leash dog.
Probably cover up some type of turf, I'm going to say, or grass or something.
You would have to. One of the things that would need to be done is it would need to be made. It would need to be accessible in some manner to those with disabilities. So you would need to put in some sort of red rock path. There would need to be some improvements. Whether or not the push was to do wood chips or turf, certainly turf becomes expensive because you've got irrigation. Wood chips may create another problem. Sand is certainly an option. So. I think when the commission initially looked at that area, one of their concerns was just the amount of work that would need to be done to make that site work.
Sorry, Judy?
Andre, yes, thank you. I have one more question. What type of time frame are we looking at as far as developing that area, if at all?
At the Coleman Park area and the Harbor Walk project?
Yeah.
You know, that's a tough answer. It really, I think that it would probably be easier answered after the city council meeting on the 10th based on what the council determines to do with the Harbor Walk project. Master planning can take, you know, 6-8 months. So probably at least a couple of years, a year and a half. Hard to pinpoint.
Anyone? Stan?
Andrea, that property is designated in the general plan and the waterfront master plan as a boatyard, boat storage area.
Which property?
The property down by the fishermen's.
Okay. All the way back?
Yeah. So that would present a problem, I would think, to the fishermen and the boat storage people.
You're probably correct.
Yeah. And I would guess there would have to be an EIR on that property before you could do anything with it. And you'd have to go through the Coastal Commission. So, do we have a lot of extra money?
I think, Commissioner House, you know the answer to that question.
Okay, thank you.
With that question in mind, do we have a lot of extra money? I'd like to say that there's a time and a place for everything. And certainly, coming back from San Luis the other day, I had a harebrained idea. I said, you know what, I'm going to pull over at El Choro. I'm going to drive 10 miles an hour under the speed limit all the way home. And I'm going to see how long it takes me. So I went right up to the dog park, and it was really tough to drive 10 miles under the speed limit because it's 15 in El Choro, so I went 10 miles an hour. And to get, you know, to the entrance and then turn right onto the highway, get up to speed, put your cruise control on, just to make sure it was a little scientific. From that point at the dog park until Morro Bay Boulevard, going very slow on Highway 1, making everybody angry, it took me 10 minutes and 30 seconds. And sadly enough, I was not thinking well enough to put on the mileage counter. It was harebrained, you know, the idea. It took me, I thought, when I got to Morro Bay Boulevard, don't exit and go to your house, drive to the next exit. 11 minutes and 48 seconds to get to Main Street, 12 minutes and 43 seconds to get to Highway 41, 13 minutes and 34 seconds to get to San Jacinto, and a whopping 15 minutes and 26 seconds to get to Zanzibar. So what I'm trying to say to you here is we have a beautiful regional park that it's regional, county, taxpayer money, money that we have made in this city has gone to fund that park. And it's only 10 to 15 minutes away, literally. Going really slow, making everyone angry. I thought, well, I'll go slow just in case I don't have my dog tied up in back. You know, my imaginary dog. That's not to say that I don't love dogs, because I've had dogs. I had a German Shepherd who lived to be 19 years old. I have a cat right now who's 19. I love animals, but I have to tell you, I personally do not believe that Del Mar Park is the place for a dog park. I don't believe that because if we move it to the island area, Island Street area, you're looking at flooding and contaminated water. I don't believe that on the other side of the park because I myself have three small children. And like people like to say to me, my dog is like a child to me. The key word there is like a child. It is not your child. And I have been at that park on several occasions. One time when I nearly had a heart attack, I was pushing one son on a swing at a birthday party. My other son was lined up. He got his cupcake. He turned and I'm looking and there's two huge dogs coming over the knoll unleashed, headed straight for Orion. And he was 2 years old at the time. The dog came running up and grabbed his cupcake out of his hand and knocked him down and made him cry. And I'd like to see Andrea become fully staffed again. I think it's important to have somebody serving the public at the front desk. I think it's important to have all of our groundskeepers to maintain all of these beautiful open spaces that we have. That's just how I feel, though. And I think that a letter to the city council stating that I don't think our department can take another hit for something to care for right now. And I think a letter firmly stating that is in order. Thank you.
Go ahead, Stan.
First of all, Joan, I'm happy to see that you're feeling better. And I have our staff reports from 2002 up until today. We started another staff report tonight, 2006. So we've got 4 years of staff reports. I would suggest that the city council read these staff reports and make a decision what they're going to do. I think that Joan is absolutely right. We don't have the money to do anything new. If another group wants to come together and fund this thing and pay for it and support it and do it themselves, what was there before, just as Mrs. Ayotte said, was not a dog park. It was an off-leash permit. They decided they didn't want to pay for the insurance to supply that. They didn't want to pay for the insurance for that permit. Nobody wanted to take up that responsibility, so as of now, there is no permit. So I suggest that if we're going to write a letter, we also send our staff reports for the last 4 years to every city council member who brought this idea back and let them know that we've looked at every site in town. We wanted a dog park. It didn't work. And we're wasting more and more staff time on this and other things that really aren't important. So I hope we could attach these to the letter that we send. Thank you.
Lastly, I'm sorry, let me say that they could have formed a nonprofit group and moved to do this, just like Stan said. Other people have done it. There are the Helping Hands. There are the Friends of the Library, the Friends of the Fire Department. I'm not sure we have, you know, $50,000, $60,000 to put into a dog park when we don't have a fire department, for example, as a city. I think that, you know, there have been many Friends of the Pool nonprofit organizations that have worked for greater good causes, and I would like to see an off-leash dog park for these people, but for and their dogs, but for right now, I don't think El Choro is too far away.
Anyone else?
Andre, I have a quick question. What are the restrictions as far as having the dogs on the beach? Dogs can be on the beach in certain areas on leashes, primarily just for simplification, right in front of the rock. And then again, if you go down to North Point, you can go from North Point north. But for the most part, between North Point north and 41, there are no dogs, and that's a state park requirement. And then other than that, they need to be on the leash. The city doesn't deal with any property north of North Point. I know there are a number of dogs that are off-leash north of North Point, but it's under the jurisdiction of the state. I believe there's some Unocal property or Chevron property, then the state, and then county as you get into Cayucas.
Thank you. Any other?
Jeff?
Not Jeff.
I would agree also that Del Mar at this time wouldn't be a good spot. The points that were brought up tonight was the flooding, the parking, plus you got the houses nearby and the school, which the school isn't fenced. And like Joan said, you know, if a dog was to get away, it can run right there where all the kids are if they're on Teresa's or whatever. So if we were to make a recommendation to city council, I would just like to add that they should just continue trying to look for another spot and maybe have to wait until the master plan for Coleman Park is complete and see if we can do that. Oh, and you also have the new group, the Pups, I believe it was called. So maybe at that time, by that time, if it's, they're still together and have some kind of fund or something going on for them, nonprofit thing, maybe they could also help maintain and do some work around there.
Do I hear a motion?
I move that we send a letter to the city council and all of these previous staff reports and minutes saying that we've done what we can do. We can't find a spot. If they want to find a spot, then they should find a spot.
I'd like the letter to suggest that Del Mar Park is not really a viable option.
I'll accept that amendment.
Do I have a second?
Second. You can get together, I mean, and put put something in the junk and type it.
I'm a little busy right now, to be perfectly honest.
Okay. I'll work with you on that, too. Okay. Next item is the recommendation on this Green Cities Declaration Urban Environmental Accords.
Thank you. The City Council heard this item on at their March 13th meeting. Basically, the Commission considered the information and directed staff, public services staff, to present the environmental accords to all the boards and commissions. And then the council asked the boards and commissions to each choose three items to focus on and report back to the City Council. Tonight, what we're hoping to do is have the commission come to a consensus and make a formal action on three items that they feel there should be focus upon. Attached in your packet was a memorandum describing what the boards and commissions needed to do, as well the Green Cities Declaration and the Urban Environmental Accords. And you can see that they're under such topics as energy, waste reduction, urban design, urban nature, transportation, and environmental health and water. As well, the Public Services Department has done a very nice job looking at each of the accords and currently how they're addressed in the city of Morro Bay. They've also used a rating system that I think we all appreciate, the sunshine, the sun with clouds, and the rainy day, and it gives you an idea of where we are with each one of those. As well, we've attached the staff report that went to the City Council with some of the comments from the City Council members. In reading the information, you're probably aware that this went to some of the, I believe it's 300 of the largest cities in the world. And so some of the items are obviously a little different than items that we might look at. But again, tonight, what we're asking you to do, as directed by City Council, is to choose three and forward those on to the City Council. I'm happy to answer any questions and open it up for discussion.
I guess the first thing we will do is take questions that you might have of Andrea before we start discussing this.
I have a question. The items we're supposed to pick, for example, like if we picked urban design, are we supposed to pick also like action 7 of urban design or just plain old urban design? Or?
My understanding is that you can pick an action, not just a category, but an action. So you've got a choice of 21 different actions.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I've got a question. On the first thing, the very initial document, the Green Cities Declaration, which the PWAB board said they agreed with the spirit of, acknowledging one of the things that it says, you know, recognizing, believing, recalling, acknowledging the importance of the obligations and the spirits of the 1972 Stockholm Conference on the Human Environment, the 1992 Rio Earth Summit, the 1996 Istanbul Conference on Human Settlements, the 2000 Millennium Development Goals, and the 2002 Johannesburg World Summit on Sustainable Development, we see the Urban Environmental Accords described below as a synergistic extension of the efforts to advance sustainability, foster vibrant economies, promote social equity, and protect the planet's natural systems. Can you tell me what the Istanbul Conference was all about? Or any of the other? So how can we vote to approve this? I mean, I obviously think this falls into the same situation of spending money on something that we really have no control over. We're obviously doing 10 of these things. There are some programs in existence. 7 of them are underway. I mean, some of these things, like you say, they're built for, it's like a city in Somalia or somewhere, or New York City. It doesn't apply. Why should we, as a city, limit our options for protecting our environment to 21 suggestions that the United Nations is giving us? The City Council can do any of these things at any time they want to without this document. So if they want to do one of these things, they can do this. Already, we've spent 60 hours of staff time on this. I asked Bill Boucher yesterday at $70 an hour. That's $4,200. For $4,200, we could have fixed a bunch of potholes. We could have put how many kids into kids club or children's recreational programs after school. And not only that, staff has other things to be doing, things that really need to be done in this city. We laid staff off last year. We made budget cuts. And to top it all off, some of the things in this paper. So I would say if the city council wants to do these things, they can do these things. But for us to worry about, there was one, for instance, let me get it here. Where is it? Here's one that's with parks. An accessible park, ensure that an accessible public park or recreational open space will be within a half a kilometer of every city resident within 9 years. So everybody has to have a park within 3 blocks of them. And then you want to have affordable housing? I mean, it's impossible. There's no room for that. Or how about conducting an inventory of existing canopy coverage in the city? Each of these things has a cost. Every single item on here has a cost because staff has to spend time working on doing these things. So conduct an inventory of the existing canopy coverage in the city, which I might add was all planted by the people that were born here and lived here. The Franklins planted all the pine trees and the Andersons and the eucalyptus trees. If you look at the picture down at the Hofbräu, there are no trees in this town. These are all planted by people. And then after we count the coverage, we have to establish a goal based upon ecological and community considerations to plant and maintain canopy coverage in not less than 50% of all available sidewalk planting sites. I think that every one of these things takes a lot of staff time from people that are overworked now. There aren't enough staff people to do the jobs we have. So I will not be voting to send any of these suggestions to the council because I believe they can do anything they want. And none of these things really apply to our city.
Okay. Judy?
Well, do we have any local environmental organizations that are active in Morro Bay? I just don't have any personal knowledge of any.
Morro Bay Beautiful does some planting and then I guess Morro Bay Estuary Program does some things that.
And also the Morro Bay Natural History Museum I know has quite a few. Would these be the type of organizations who could take part in this type of work? Is that something we could consider?
I don't know.
I think what the council, and certainly appreciate the comments from Commissioner House, I think what the council is looking for, I'll go back to the spirit of the accords versus the letter of the accords, and I think that when we're looking at the spirit of the accords, there are some things that, as Commissioner House said, 90% don't apply to recreation and parks, but there are a few that do, and perhaps what the commission can do is look at those that might have an impact on recreation and parks and facilities, things that we handle. It's certainly an interesting project, and it's a little outside the realm of what we normally do, but it would be, if we can, good to forward the information to the council to do with what as they please. And I think when Commissioner House talks about staffing and funding, he is correct that it has taken staff time, and most of these items will probably come with some sort of cost. Maybe how to look at it is more of like a master planning type process. When we master plan for a park, we're looking at, we don't talk about money. That's why it's fun. We don't talk about money. We just talk about what we would like to see there and what would be good for the community. So maybe that's, again, taking Commissioner House's comments into consideration, maybe that's how the commission can look at it. And if they want to look at it in that manner, maybe that's how we, if you choose, that's how you forward your recommendation, is that, you know, we're certainly aware of constraints and budget constraints, and we're concerned about the impact of these on the already, you know, departments that are budgetarily having a difficult time. Maybe couch those responses. I know the commission in other times has had they've given their recommendation with conditions, and maybe that's something, if this commission feels comfortable, that's maybe something that you could entertain. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. John?
Would it be too out of the realm of possibility to possibly table this and ask for a member of PWAB to come down here and explain exactly what their thinking might be as encompassing recreation and parks?
I think one of the thoughts with sending it, generally when the council sends things out, I think that they do their best to send out things to all the boards and commissions, and I think that that was the direction. You could certainly table it. However, the commission, the council is hoping to have this back by the, I think it was the first, it says end of May, but I think it was the first meeting in May, and it's not going to coincide with anything else with your next meeting.
The
community center. So perhaps you can condition those accords. Like, you can do whatever you want with it as far as, you know, conditioning them. It's your input, if that makes it any easier.
And I selected number 16 under environmental health. Every year, identify one product, chemical, or compound that is used within the city that represents the greatest risk to human health, and adopt a law and provide incentives to reduce or eliminate its use by municipal government, because we use a lot of pesticides and cleaning materials from recreation and parks when we do the janitorial work, and since that's part of what we do as a function of the department, maybe that's something that we could consider. Or number 19, even though it talks about potable water consumption of individuals, maybe we could be looking at how we could be using a different type of water rather than potable water for watering our parks, which wouldn't happen in the next year or two, but over an extended period of time, it would be good not to be using drinking water to water parkland. And this isn't something that we could possibly do in the next few years, but over a period of time, it might be something that we could be striving for.
Sure.
On the staff report from Bill Boucher, we're the second lowest consumer of water in the state of California right now. And if the new wastewater treatment plant is built and is a tertiary plant, that water will be used for other things in our city. So that's already in the works. I guess we could be the lowest one in California, and maybe we will. But this actually says, for cities with potable water consumption greater than 100 liters per day, adopt and implement policies to reduce consumption by 10% by 2015. That's 9 years away. We're already the second lowest in the state. So because we've been consuming less water than anybody else now, we're going to be punished by 10%. These make absolutely no sense for a city with 10,000 people. In fact, we lost a number of people last year. We lost something like 8 people in our population. There are fewer families living here right now. We have the lowest per capita number of people in every house in this city. We have 1.75 people per home in our city, in the county. We're the lowest in the county. And it's going more and more that way. We've closed down one elementary school. We're becoming gentrified. And the reason, one of the reasons, is because of more and more restrictions and regulations we're putting on everybody. And if you think some of this stuff won't have end results for businesses in town, the businesses are not opening up in town now. So I guess you can tell I'm totally against this.
Anybody else have any suggestions? Chrissy?
I
also gravitated to Action 16 only because, and I know Andrea was talking about, you know, try not to consider cost, but coming to mind, it's one of those areas where potentially it could be something that could be implemented rather quickly and without a lot of expense. Seems like a pretty practical, reasonable thing to evaluate with potentially minimal cost. So that one looked appealing from my point of view and tying it into what we're doing on this commission.
Oh, Johnny, did you say Action 8?
Action 8, yes.
Okay. Did you have something else, Christy?
No.
Joan?
I like number Action 16 as well, especially in my current situation. However, I do have to say that when you are cleaning a public area, like a public restroom, for example, you do have to use
noxious
products, materials, and those types of things that are approved for industrial use, because they do have to be cleaned to a certain level to
human health. It has to be the one that represents the greatest risk, and adopt a law and provide incentives to reduce or eliminate by its use by a municipal government. So it has to be the product that we use that is the greatest risk, which I guarantee you will entail hiring a consultant every year to determine which one is the greatest risk. There's no doubt about this.
It says that we can be working toward these things. It doesn't say that we have to absolutely deal with this individual thing to the letter of the law.
And also getting... Oh, sorry.
Go ahead, Judy.
Yeah, well, my thinking was... It's not on. Oh, it is. Wanting to involve any local environmental organizations who would probably love to, you know, get involved and give their suggestions, do the whatever consulting type work would be necessary. Maybe that, you know, we have resources rather than use staff and paid staff. Nonprofits, volunteers. I mean, I think we're in a community that's very environmentally conscientious, and the idea is positive. I mean, I don't know if it's something we should just ignore entirely.
I don't think we should ignore it entirely either, but I do think that it's tough for us to make a collective, educated decision with. Out somebody here from Public Works, I know they tried, or from PWAB. I really, really, really think we need to hear from them. This is like making a decision about, you know, somebody's American history exam, whether they're going to graduate from college or not, and you're from Vietnam and never taken a history class. I mean, you know, we really need to be educated on it before we make decisions for our city. That's how I feel.
Well, my husband's on PWAB, and he said that we were just supposed to go and do what we're doing, basically. Go through and argue, that's right. And that it will be up to the city council to review what each board and commission recommends and select the three that they feel they want to work on, because they asked us for our input, and they'll decide.
And that's my understanding what the other boards and commissions, in fact, Harbor Advisory will also be meeting tonight, and that's the same thing they're going to do is, and I like the word deliberate versus argue. that's all right. About the three that they feel are most important.
Another one that I thought was possible... I didn't write this number down, though. Maybe Andrea or one of you can help find it. Was dealt with the vehicles. Oh, it's Action 14, which we could deal with when we replace our vehicles. The part that talks about public fleets, selection of vehicles that would be reducing particulate matter and
and smog-forming emissions from those fleets by 50% in 7 years as we replace our trucks. So maybe that's another one that we could think of, and that would have applicability to more departments than just recreation and parks.
Have we considered that we might already, from our angle, be doing action item number 20, protect the ecological integrity of the city's primary drinking water source, i.e. aquifers, rivers, lakes, wetlands, and associated ecosystems, by making sure that, for example, we don't put a dog park where the fecal matter will run off into the creek that feeds the so on and so forth. I mean, this one may be fairly straightforward for us. Maybe, Stan.
You know, I think a lot of these may be good ideas, but I think the city council should bring them forward one at a time in the priority that they believe is important. And we shouldn't be taking these ideas from a United Nations document. We should be doing this because the citizens of this city think this is something they want to have done. And we shouldn't limit ourselves to these things. There are some good things possibly on here. I agree with that. Not the way it's written, but there are some good things. It's just unfathomable to me that we need to take a document, a United Nations document from San Francisco, and make our city's decisions or prioritize our decisions from this list of 21 things when we have a whole world of things that we can pick that would make the environment a better place. But because this is a UN document, we're going to pick three of this 21. It makes no sense.
Their trucks and vans over the years.
So how many do we have now that we have?
We have 8 and 16, so we need one more. If people agree with 8 and 16...
You also had comments on 19 and 14.
14 and
19.
19 and 20.
I think 20. Mm-hmm. 20 would be good, and which Joan brought up a good point that if the dog park was to go in at Coleman with the runoff going into the creek out there and stuff, so we could probably use action 20 in that way.
I guess one thing that would be helpful is understanding if the city council is intending to, again, adopt some of these actions as stated, or it's not going to be the letter, it's going to be the spirit of it, because I think that takes the constraint out. I mean, I think this is a framework that a lot of cities are potentially looking at in terms of developing their green policy. So in that respect, I think it's helpful to have some things to think about and things to look at. Taking it literally, I think to Stan's point, is a lot of them are not really applicable and they seem kind of ridiculous for us, but if it's not going to be taken as a letter, then I think some of them can make a lot of sense if we want to put forward what our recommendations are in a, you know, again, under some of these headings. I think I'm less, more comfortable with that than, you know, X has to happen within 7 years and so on and so forth. So I guess the question is anybody clear on whether the intent would be to use these actions, you know, literally, or whether the city's going to say, hey, I like the idea of cutting out emissions by X percent, but maybe it doesn't have to be, you know, specifically 5%, and it doesn't have to be within 7 years. I don't think I'm clear on that.
Just helping the commission along a little bit, perhaps with those comments, you can use those comments in your recommendation. That again, I talk about the spirit of the accords versus the literal interpretation of the accords, and that certainly might be information you may want to include in your motion.
We could certainly do this the way you know, we could certainly do this, you know, if we're deciding that we're going to forward this on, as uneducated as I feel I am in this manner, then I would be more willing to approve something that, similar to what Christy said, and also ones that were possibly sunbursts rather than awful little rain clouds. It would certainly make it easier from an uneducated standpoint to not be forwarding on a recommendation we don't know anything about that nobody's really doing.
Well, I'd like to try a motion and then if let's see how it goes. I move we forward action item 8, 16, and 20 to the council. That one for.
I'd agree on forwarding those three also, and also with the we would have the state town
with the proviso that
maybe it's with the condition that we're not our recommendation is, and we aren't going to take these literally, that it's the spirit of it, and that we believe that these areas tie in with what we do on this commission, and that at a broad level, these are areas we think should be examined.
That's
something to that effect.
That's, thank you.
Can we say not literally and not to law? Not to the letter of the law?
Can you get something to that? Thank you.
Can you say we're going to pass it, but we don't really mean it?
No.
So can you go back and rephrase it then, Leva?
Joan and Stan, no. Okay. Next item, the Recreation and Parks status report.
First of all, thank you, commissioners, for willing to meet a week early. I appreciate that. It means that we get to be at the Vets Hall, which is kind of nice. The status report is just a brief description and analysis of the current programs and projects that we're working on. Just to bring you up to speed, we try to keep you informed of things like the Teen Center Hours, which is currently open Tuesday through Thursday, 3 to 7, and Saturdays, 1 to 10. The skate park winter hours are continuing. They're Friday from 3 to dusk, and Saturday and Sunday noon to 5. However, beginning on April 24th, the spring hours begin at the skate park, which means it will be open Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 3 to dusk, which is about 7 or 7:30-ish, and Saturday and Sunday noon to 5. Unfortunately, due to budget cuts during the spring break, neither the teen center nor the skate park will be operating. We'll go through the Del Mar tennis courts and community pool. We have no updates for you at this point. We will bring the Cloisters Assessment District numbers to you at our May meeting. The March and April, the March printout was not available at the time of publishing. Things are working a little bit better with staffing in our youth services programs. We still have some staff vacancies, but we have definitely made a huge step in the right direction from the beginning of this fiscal year, so we're happy with that. We have completed our TIDES web guide online. We actually just updated it. We've done some different things. For instance, added a cover picture similar to the old TIDES magazine that we printed. Now we have a cover picture on our web guide on the web. And we'll be updating that guide on a regular basis. Big updates every 4 months, and then minor updates as we go along. And we've seen that that's a benefit versus the printed guide. We are very close to opening our program registration online. We're actually allowing, at this point, participants to go online and register their families or open their accounts online, but they can't do registration online yet, but they can open accounts, and that's working out very well. We also have distributed some press releases about our new registration program and the availability of that. As well, we're working on a brochure to hand out to all our contract instructor classes so we can get that all that registration information onto our computer system prior to actually going live online. The solar panel project at the community center is finished. We reported that last time. We have requested final payment for the kiosk from the Air Pollution Control District, and we're expecting that. As soon as that occurs, that project will be closed out. The Morbid Community Foundation had a busy weekend in March, as most of you are aware, and most of you I know were available or attending at least one of these events. We had the Chamber of Commerce Mixer on Thursday night for the commission or the foundation, the annual spaghetti dinner on Friday night, and then we finished up with our art show on Saturday night. Overall, we were very pleased. The events were successful. We sold about $2,600 of artwork, of which the foundation receives approximately 40%. The spaghetti dinner was a little lower than usual. We brought in about $2,800. Last year, we were about $3,100. We're going to attribute that to no green spaghetti. It was St. Patrick's Day, and I think there were some other things going on. So perhaps in the future when we're planning, we'll try to avoid St. Patrick's Day or try to do green spaghetti, one of the two. We will be bringing a full, complete report to you in May about the exact numbers, how many dinners we served, and so on and so forth. We're happy to say that our girls' softball program opened between rainstorms on March 25th. We have 133 girls registered in the program, which is a significant increase from last year. And our girls' teams will be competing against Atascadero as well as San Luis Obispo teams. You may recall that you approved funding for new parking lot lights at Kaiser Park. We took that to City Council. It was approved, and we're anticipating construction to start very soon, probably in the next couple weeks. And that should be concluded fairly quickly. As well, we are forwarding the special event policy to the City Council, and I believe that's scheduled for the first meeting in May, the special event policy that you approved a couple of months ago. That concludes my status report. I'm happy to answer questions if you have them. Oh, you know what? Actually, I did have a couple of an attachment. I think this was the status report, the notification on the county parks and recreation element. It's just a notification that that document's going to the county planning commission and gives you some times and dates for that information.
Any questions for Andrea?
I have one question, Andrea. Are there any goals that your department has around the program registration?
You mean in general with all programs?
The online registration.
Oh.
Do you have any objectives around? We'd like to see X percent of folks register.
And mediation. That's what we're talking about.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Motion to accept B1 for file.
Second. Judy.
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
I think when we do the letter to the City Council about the dog park, we should say we don't have enough staff to keep the teen center open during spring break.
That's right.
Okay, the citizens' reports and correspondence.
We just had a couple of correspondence, or actually information. The Morro Bay Citizens Bike Committee has given us two updates, and those are just for your information. I don't have any comments on those.
Okay. Do we have to accept these for file?
Yes, you generally do.
Do I hear a motion?
Motion to accept C1 for file.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Now we come to our youth services, sports and fitness, and facilities and park use reports.
These reports this evening, I'm not going to specifically call out anything to your attention beyond the fact that we're reasonably happy with our participation. Our youth services participation is right on target. Our sports participation has fallen a little bit from last fiscal year. We're about 5,000 participations off there. Not a huge concern at this point. We talked a little bit about one of the reasons was our youth basketball program, where we had less participation. could be due to program life cycle. Hard to say. We'll continue to take a look at that. We've got a couple programs that are up, a couple programs that are down. Again, not any huge concerns at this point. In terms of our facility and parks use, slightly lower use than last year. Again, nothing that we're too concerned about at this point. On the back are the numbers from the Senior Citizens Incorporated that they provide about number of participants and number of programs. I'm happy to answer questions. Otherwise, you do need to accept these reports for file.
Questions? Joan?
Question, yeah. Do you have any information that you would like to share with the general public regarding the Easter egg hunt next Saturday?
Oh. That was the other announcement that I didn't make. And thank you very much. As the commission knows, a number of our special events were canceled due to budgeting issues. The Easter egg hunt was one of them. We've held it at Del Mar Park for the last 95 years. This year, the Morro Bay Eagles have come forward, and they have pulled the permit for the event. They've arranged the event, and it is open to children 10 and under. I believe the egg hunt starts at 10 on... Anything? 11. Okay. Well, please call our office. It's either 10 or 11, but it's important to be there on time because the bunny won't wait for anybody. it's a great event. The Eagles have come in a couple different times to talk to us about how we've handled it, and I think it's just going to be a fantastic event. It's on the Saturday prior to Easter at Del Mar Park. Again, call our office for the exact time. We've got some flyers up. Thank you, Commissioner Solo.
It's a very important event in our household.
Any other questions or comments for Andrea? A motion to accept for file?
I move that we accept it for file. These reports for file.
Second. Joan? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Senior report. There's no senior report because the meeting's next week. Any other commissioner reports?
One thing.
Okay.
I'd just like to mention the library had their 20th anniversary party on Saturday from 12 to 2, and there was a huge turnout. They had great sandwiches, and I think the Garden Club, I'm probably getting this wrong, but Nancy Johnson was in charge of, I believe, the Garden Club exhibit. There were a lot of great exhibits from 20 years of the library. They had scrapbooks. There was a picture of my son when he was about 3 years old eating a cookie in front of the old library. That was kind of neat. So,
yes, it was very well attended. There was a display of the history of the library because we celebrated our 20th anniversary in December. And we got to have a tour of the new library and all the new... services and doodads that are in there now. Yes, it's Wi-Fi ready and more computers and self-checkout, and it's really nice. So everybody come down and use your local library. We have no public